The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
Consider tripinsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from tripinsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker. If you haven't done it yet, check out our cruise news at cruiseradio.net.
On this show, we're going to do something we haven't done in a good while. Take your listener calls, emails, tweets, and Facebook messages, and give them to the experts to answer. Travel writer Chris Owen will stop by, as well as Dan Skilkin from tripinsurance.com. But first, as always, Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy. Hello, Stuart.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man.
Last month, it was reported that the Princess Cruises ship Star Princess blew right past a fishing boat with some stranded fishermen from Panama. Now, Princess is saying they didn't see the boat, but there's plenty of photos and YouTube videos from passengers that clearly show otherwise. What are you hearing, Stuart?
Well, from what I understand, there's actually two situations going on here that has been, one, misreported and miscommunicated. What essentially happened, and you know, the first responses that we heard from Princess was that the fishermen were actually waving to them, thanking them for avoiding their nets. Now, essentially, what had happened 2 days prior to the unfortunate incident was that the ship was approaching an area where there were a bunch of fishermen. And they had communicated with the ship to please go around to not interfere with the nets that they had out. What happened, you know, essentially 2 days later, when the, you know, the one passenger contacted someone from the onboard sales department, evidently there may have been some confusion because Princess is claiming that the captain nor none of the bridge officers were notified of the that incident at that moment where they were trying, you know, where they were able to see a another boat in distress.
Do you really believe that?
Well, I mean, it's certainly understandable, but I mean, there's no
okay.
The woman who reported the story, Doug, did not have. She didn't really contact anyone. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, you're dealing with a cruise line guys that. I mean, there's no reason for them not to stop. I mean, they look, in 10 years, they've stopped 30 times to assist you know, boaters in distress, whether they were, you know, Cuban refugees or whatever. So I have no reason to believe that. I mean, first of all, they're required by international maritime law to do it.
Yeah, sure.
But there's no reason they're not going to. I mean, they're you know, these are humanitarian vessels. They're not military vessels.
Right. Well,
so, I believe, you know, it's very, you know, we don't know. There's obviously investigations going on, but I mean, we've got to put, you know, our best foot forward and believe that, of course, they would have stopped.
Yeah. So this is far from over, I'm sure. CLIA, Cruise Line International Association, implemented three new safety policies this week for cruise ships. What were they?
Well, it's very interesting. It's voyage planning, bridge access, and life jackets. And it's very, unknown at this point what this really means. By, you know, now what has to happen is that the passage plan, you know, the course of that the ship is going to take has to be thoroughly briefed with all the bridge team members in advance of its implementation. So this way everyone's aware of what's going on and the direction of the ship. The second thing has to do with limiting bridge access to minimize disruptions, distractions, and access during operational times, you know, when they're maneuvering the ship. And they're like, I'm like scratching my head. I thought they were already doing this.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a requirement to have additional life jackets on board for their passengers, which we already know. So it kind of sounds like all three of these things were already being done. So really, what's the change here? But, you know, if they feel it's necessary, good for them.
Yeah.
It was reported last week that Costa Concordia is being refloated by a U.S. company, Titan Salvage. How long will this process take?
Well, it's going to take a year. And it was actually Titan Salvage in addition to an Italian company. So it's going to be a joint effort between Titan Salvage and McCoppery. But it's going to take about 12 months for them to refloat the ship in one piece and get the ship removed.
Celebrity Cruises announced this week that they'll air the Summer Olympics from London live. Is this really that big of a deal for a cruise line?
I think it may have been a slow news week, Doug.
That's what I thought, too.
But, we know that all the lines, as we get closer to certain sporting events, could be the World Series, the NBA Finals, the Olympics in this case, the Oscars. You know, you have certain cruise lines that want you to know well in advance that you're not going to miss a moment. So at this point, you know, they announced that they will be airing the Olympics, mm-hmm. That they secured the broadcast rights to air the Olympics on their ships. And I'm sure a lot of the other cruise lines will do the same.
Royal Caribbean had their first quarter earnings call last week, and like Carnival, they're taking a little hit too, right?
Well, yeah, and I think that they may have stressed a little too much on Costa Concordia. It's really not impacting that much. I mean, there are bigger issues that would have been occurring without the Concordia, but certainly it sounds good. But the larger issue for the impacts on earnings right now for both public companies has a lot more to do with much higher fuel costs this time than same time last year, which has taken quite a bite, as well as currency exchanges. The economy in Europe right now, specifically in Italy, Greece, and especially Spain, has taken a significant bite out of future bookings. That again, all of this would have been occurring with or without Costa Concordia, but it is unfortunate. But the good news is that the ships are sailing full, and especially the European bookings within Europe are the ones that are taking a greater toll, and so the cruise lines are having to be much more aggressive back to the U.S. market to entice more bookings. Because typically they're expecting almost 60 to 65% internationally sourced passengers on their European sailings. And it might also be a signal that, there may be too much tonnage out in Europe during the summer, that maybe for 2013, maybe they want to reconsider their deployments and maybe just kind of reduce it, because there's a great deal of demand here in the Caribbean and not enough ships during the summer.
All right, thanks, Stuart. Can you hang with us? Because we got some listener questions for you after the break.
Fantastic.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance, with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. TripInsurance.com.
Each week we give you Porthole Cruise Magazine's Pick of the Week. If you're cruising from or returning to Fort Lauderdale this weekend, you'll probably notice the city is hosting the Lauderdale Air Show, which is being held Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th, from noon to 4, right over the ocean on Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Headlined by the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, this inaugural air show will showcase the country's premier military and civilian acts, including a B-1 bomber, the United States Air Force Thunderbirds, U.S. Navy SEALs Leapfrogs, and a Coast Guard Save and Rescue demo.
For details, go to LauderdaleAirShow.com. All right, Stuart, first question from Bill in Arkansas. What's the difference between a passport and a passport card?
The passport is what is strongly recommended, especially when you're traveling really beyond the borders. If you're going to within certain countries, the passport card is not as flexible. It's not as widely accepted within some of these countries. You definitely want it. Like, if you're going to get one or the other, definitely just go for the full passport. It'll afford you all of the rights and the most convenience.
All right, Stuart. Diane in Oklahoma City says, can I sail out of Miami, get off in Bahamas, and fly home? And will the cruise fare still be the same if I do that?
The answer is yes, you can. You will not get any credit for the unused cruise, the amount of days that you have left. If you've got 3 or 4 days left on your cruise, you will not be compensated for those days. And you will absolutely have to bring your passport. You will not be able to use a birth certificate or in order to get back as if you, began and ended in Miami, because now you are traveling internationally, and then you're going to have the passport in order to re-enter the United States.
Lastly, Laura in Carson City, Nevada asks, what is the policy on bringing wine on board the ship? Are you allowed, and do they charge some type of corkage fee?
The answer is most cruise lines do allow you to bring your own wine, but they will, for your convenience, take it from you and hold it for you, and there will be a corkage fee. But a lot of passengers actually who enjoy different kinds of wines will bring a few bottles of their own stash with them on board the ships.
How much is a corkage fee?
It could be $15, $20, maybe a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's for your convenience. So this way, they'll bring it back to you. If it's white, it'll be chilled, and red, they'll keep it at room temperature. And of course, they'll massage and wax and keep the bottles nice and clean and glossy for you.
Mm.
So it's another good customer service that they do for their passengers.
All right, Stuart. As always, thank you so much for your expertise.
It is a pleasure, gentlemen.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, the fastest-growing cruise talk radio show in the nation.
All right, we always love having travel writer Chris Owen with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Matt. Hi, Doug. How are you doing tonight?
All right, Chris, our first question is from listener Beverly Renda on Facebook. She writes, if my husband cannot stay disconnected at sea, what's the best advice you can offer him for his cell phone and internet connection?
Good question. It's a good question to ask before you go on the cruise, too, because you don't end up with some bad surprises afterwards. First steps, call your cell phone provider, the person that takes care of your cell phone service. That's where your cell phone bill is going to come from eventually, however you do it. Find out what their specific rules are. Ask them just directly. Say, I'm going on the, whatever the name of the ship is, I'm going on the Carnival Fantasy, and I want to use my cell phone. How much is it going to cost me? And they'll tell you exactly what it's going to be. And be sure to have them document that they talked to you. So if something goes wrong later, you can refer back to that, because odds are they're not going to remember that you called. And then the next thing on cell phones is there's two issues: the phone and then the internet. The internet you can use most phones you can use connected to the internet like you would if you were at the internet cafe and just pay for it by the minute. The big advantage to using the phone if it takes mail or even a laptop that has that you can do email on is you can hop on, download your email, hop off. Answer it and then hop back on and send it and use very little internet time that way. Best bet, though, mail on the ship is to go to a website called Mail2Web. It's M-A-I-L, the number 2, and then web.com. And you can get email from anywhere, and that'll bring it all up right in front of you.
Our next question is from Yvonne. We're trying to plan a 3 to 4 night cruise. Now, what is the best time of year to go, and would you choose Western Caribbean or Bahamas, Chris?
Good question. I'm going to take it that it's probably one of their first cruises, but if it's a 3 or 4 night cruise, it's going to be out of Florida or a warm weather destination. So, warm weather port where you leave from. And so as far as the weather goes, pretty much any time of the year. Mm-hmm. Price-wise, you're better off to go in the fall or early spring, but not spring break, or for that matter, anytime school's out is going to be a more expensive time. There's a big difference, though, between the 3 or 4 days. 3 days, you're definitely coming to Florida. Say hello to Florida, because that's where they run from.
Right.
Norwegian, Royal Caribbean, and Carnival have those. The 4 nights, though, have a lot more diversity. You could go to some other home ports besides Florida home ports, like Galveston, or the historic city of Charleston, South Carolina, or the home of Cruise Radio there in Jacksonville.
There you go.
Go for four. Is it four or five? 4 and 5 nights, or 4 nights for Fascination?
We do 4 and 5 here.
Yeah, 4 and 5. And the Fascination does used to do a really neat itinerary out of Miami that kind of gives you a little bit of the best of the both worlds. The best of both worlds is the one that goes to Key West and Cozumel. And that's a great little itinerary, and it turns around pretty fast, and it's a good one to go on.
It pretty much just depends on where you really want to go. I mean, if you want to go to the Bahamas, you want to do the 3 or 4 night Bahamas, and then the 4 night Western will go where? Like to Cozumel?
The 4 night Western will go to Cozumel, and the 5 night Western, like say Carnival Paradise out of Tampa, does the 5 night Western that goes to Grand Cayman and Cozumel.
Okay.
Which is different also. So, yeah, that's a good thing. Those are all good choices. Lots of good choices for short cruises. Not so sure how that's going to go next year after they pull out Monarch of the Seas, but
yeah.
Leaving the fleet, and we don't know what's going to come and take its place, if anything.
All right, this next one is an email from Morgan Ellison in Rhode Island. She writes, "My husband and I are going on an anniversary cruise in Europe this summer. Will we need a power converter?"
If you're going directly to the ship, probably not. If you're going to do a pre- or post-cruise hotel stay, or are sailing on some small river cruise line, yes, it would be a good idea to get one. The thing about it is, they don't cost much. Last year when we were in Venice, the hotel said they had them, so I didn't pack one, and they did not.
I remember that.
Yeah, I spent a couple hours walking around Venice with this note saying, sell this guy, I think it said that, sell this guy a power converter. They were all laughing at me, so it might have been a joke. But anyway, it's an easy fix, too. Target.com, I just looked at, has the one that I got. It's called the Atlona Universal Power Converter for most of Europe, and it's $5. It's not a big item there.
But normally the ships, you won't need one, correct?
No,
okay.
Won't. Now, you know, that Viking River cruise we were on had both. It had both the 110 and the 220 outlets, so that was a brand new ship, too.
All right, Chris, our next question is from Bob Lasik. He's going on a Viking River cruise from Amsterdam, and what kind of attire should he pack on a river cruise, he wants to know.
Nicer. If you're comparing a river cruise to if you've only been on ocean cruises and this is your first river cruise, I think nicer is a good word to say. Not dressy, bring your tuxedo, although you could, like you could on a ocean cruise. But I think for just walking around during the day, it's a nicer kind of clothing that you would want to wear. For one reason, there are no pools, whirlpools, playgrounds, golf courses, and things where you would naturally wear more casual clothes mm-hmm. on a river cruise ship. It's not it. If you're wearing shorts, it's because you went out and you felt like it. Or if you weren't wearing long pants, it's because you felt like it. Maybe a light jacket when you're going off the ship, if you're not comfortable trusting the weather in an unknown destination. One of the most important things when leaving the ship on a river cruise, backpack with lots of water and snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like those Kind bars or things like that, just because you don't know where you're going to be when and where things are going to be till you can buy them and that sort of thing. So,
did you already mention comfortable walking shoes?
I didn't, but that's got to be big on the list. Comfortable walking shoes is very important, especially for the sightseeing excursions, because you'll be walking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For dinner, it's evening casual is pretty much the name of the game. If you want to be sure to have all the bases covered, bring along one outfit that is what you would wear to a nice business meeting or a church service, and you'll be good.
And what would you wear in an Amsterdam coffee shop?
Jeans and a T-shirt.
Okay, good.
From 1972.
All right, man. Chris Owen, as always, thank you, Chris.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Happy to have President and CEO of TripInsurance.com with us, Dan Skilkin. Welcome back to Cruise Radio.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, we really appreciate you being with us. We haven't done this in a good while, but have a listener question for you. She is on the line, Michelle from Dallas. Go ahead with your question.
I was browsing travel insurance policies for an upcoming cruise, and I noticed a lot of pre-existing conditions, wording in fine print. What exactly is that?
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for calling. That's a great question because pre-existing conditions are among the most confusing terms in a policy. But let's eliminate a lot of the mystery here to make sure that you will have the medical coverage you need. When you purchase travel insurance with health coverage, it may not cover everything if you have a pre-existing medical condition exclusion in your travel insurance policy. You probably already know this, but exclusions are language in the policy that specifically eliminate coverage for certain risks. So insurance typically only covers you for unknown risk at the time you buy the insurance. If you know that a risk already exists that could affect your ability to travel, then you might not be covered for this risk. Pre-existing medical conditions are medical problems that you or your travel companions have that are present before you travel. So if your travel insurance policy includes a pre-existing conditions waiver, then the insurance company will cover your medical treatment even if the problem existed before you bought the policy. So let me give you an example of how a pre-existing condition waiver can improve your trip insurance coverage. Let's say you're diabetic and you've been having trouble balancing your insulin and you've been treated by your doctor for this condition in the 90 days before you bought your travel insurance. If you don't have a pre-existing condition waiver in your trip insurance policy, then you're not covered for medical problems on your trip having to do with your diabetes. This includes any medical treatment or even medical emergency evacuation because this problem would be considered a pre-existing condition.
And Dan, let me interrupt here for a minute. Do you always need this pre-existing condition waiver?
Matt, let's say you're diagnosed with a heart condition or a diabetic and you're on prescribed medication, but your doctor has not had to change your medication in the last 90 days, and the condition is under control. The ailment is probably not considered a pre-existing condition because your medical condition and treatment is considered stable. So if, God forbid, you suffer a heart attack or have an insulin attack while traveling, it may be covered because this is a new and dramatic change in your health condition. The determination of whether or not a medical condition is going to be covered has a lot to do with your doctor's reports and whether your medical records show that you've been treated for the condition in the 90 days prior to buying your travel insurance. The insurance company is going to try to figure out whether you knew about the medical problem when you bought the insurance. If you buy within the 14 days of your initial deposit and have a pre-existing condition waiver, then the claims process becomes much easier because it eliminates this debate as to whether or not the medical condition was a problem when you bought the insurance. Having the pre-existing condition waiver will save a lot of time processing your claim because the insurance company is not going to have to request a copy of your prior medical records to investigate.
Okay.
Two of the good plans and all of the better and best plans on TripInsurance.com have a pre-existing condition waiver. So if you ever need help or have any questions, feel free to give us a call anytime, day or night, and we can help you find the right policy for you.
He is the president and CEO of TripInsurance.com, Dan Skilkin. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you. My pleasure. And Michelle, have a safe trip.
All right. That's going to do it. Thanks again to travel writer Chris Owen. You can find him at chriscruises.net. And also president and CEO of TripInsurance.com, Dan Skilkin. Don't forget, we now have a Cruise Radio app. Pretty darn good, if we say so ourselves. You can go to iTunes or your Droid Market and search Cruise Radio.
And as always, if you don't have a smartphone, you can sign up for our daily cruise news alerts at cruiseradio.net. Just put your email in the box.
From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.